What is going on? You are listening to Rock the Walls Podcast Edition. I'm your host, Patrick Walford. Today on the pod, we are joined by drummer of Bleed From Within and Psilosis, Allie Richardson, talking all about the brand new Bleed From Within album, Shrine, the writing and recording of it, and a whole lot more, including an update towards the end as to what Psilosis is up to, releasing new singles over the last couple months, working on new music, and a whole lot more. So very stoked for everyone to hear the interview on today's podcast. If you already do not, you can follow me on the socials at Rock the Walls on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And as well, subscribe to the podcast. Simply search Rock the Walls in your favorite podcasting app, click subscribe, and never miss an episode. In case this is your first time tuning in and you did not know, Rock the Walls is a radio show that airs live Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Adobe Howl and Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Adobe Radio. And sometimes, due to time constraints, I only have a two-hour slot for my show. I have to kind of cut down and edit some interviews down, whereas here on the podcast, it is uncut, unedited, the interviews in their entirety, no time constraints at all when it comes to podcasting. So you'll love that, so definitely make sure you subscribe. I've got a lot of really awesome stuff coming up here over the next little bit. Podcast going up with Thy Art Is Murder, Thornhill, Era, and a whole lot more. It's going to be a great summer with a lot of really awesome interviews that I have planned here in the next little bit. So make sure you go and follow and subscribe to the podcast. We are going to get right into things today with Allie Richardson, drummer of Bleed From Within. Bleed From Within has been a band the last couple of years that has definitely been at the top of my listening list, from their 2018 album Era to Fracture in 2020 and now Shrine this year. Just an absolutely immaculate catalog. I've been crossing my fingers. We are going to see them over here in North America real soon, and we discuss a little bit about that in the interview. So here it is, my chat with Allie Richardson, drummer of Bleed From Within, on Rock the Walls. You are listening to Rock the Walls here on Adobe Radio. I'm your host, Patrick Walford. Right now, we are joined by a band who just dropped their brand new album, Shrine, this past Friday on Nuclear Blast. They're playing festivals all over Europe this summer, including Download Festival this coming weekend. We are here with Allie Richardson, drummer of Bleed From Within. Allie, how's everything going, man? It's been a busy couple days for you guys. The day before the album came out, you guys played a sick festival in Poland, and this weekend, lots of travel for you guys and whatnot, and preparing for a Download Fest coming up this weekend, along with hearing all the reaction for the album. As we were talking about before, you know, you're just getting to hearing a lot of people's reaction because you've been busy the past couple days, man. So just how's everything been, and just this quote unquote return to normal here over this last little bit for you guys?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things at the moment. This is about 3 weeks ago, we played our first show in Europe since 2019, sort of post-pandemic or post the lockdowns, you know. So all in all, a very emotional few weeks in that sense to finally get back over to that part of the world. Like, we've been touring in Europe since 2008, I think our first tour was there, and to have that kind of taken away from us for a few years was horrible. So it was great to get back out there and start connecting with the fans. Like you said, the album's just been released. So yeah, I mean, all in all, it's been an incredible campaign. Working with Nuclear Blast has been a dream. They've got such a good team there that just understand the genre and the digital side of things now, especially, which is where, you know, a large part of our following is based there. You know what I mean? Like, the digital landscape is where Bleed kind of shine. So yeah, it's just been a really exciting few months. The last few weeks, particularly exciting, and then the last few days have just been fucking mental, to be honest. Pretty crazy. Like you said, in Poland, that was the kind of first big festival of our summer run, Mystic Festival in Poland. So we played the same day as Mastodon and Opeth, Baroness, Felattack, just some of our favorite bands. You know, sharing the stage with them and sort of hanging out with some of them afterwards and stuff was just amazing. It's so good to see the new songs just going down as well as they are live. You know, people have been sitting with them now for a few weeks up to a few months, and they're just resonating on a whole other level with the audience. So it's a very exciting time for us. It kind of feels like the beginning all over again. So we're hungry for the future and excited to see what it brings.
Yeah, definitely, for sure, man. Yeah, and just the way that you guys have been dropping singles just over these last couple months in the lead up to the album, I think it was just absolutely perfect. You know, not only the song selection that you guys chose, and, you know, really helping build up hype and excitement for the album, but also, you know, from the visual perspective, what you guys were able to do as well, you know, not only with all the amazing stuff that Goonzy does and just his amazing, incredible work, to some of the other stuff that you guys have done along the way here. Just absolutely loving all the fucking pyro and all that sort of stuff, man. Just
it's all about the pyro, all about the pyro.
100%, man. So, I mean, for you guys, and just, you know, obviously Fracture being as successful as it was, not being able to tour on that. And, you know, as you guys actually just posted about an hour ago on social media, you know, this time a year ago, you guys were writing this album, you know, in the Scottish Highlands and whatnot, man. So where does this really begin for you guys just over the last couple of years? And, you know, obviously you released Fracture, hopeful that you're going to be able to, you know, do a tour on that, hoping that stuff is going to resume to normal quicker than it did. And then obviously, you know, at the point in time, you know, it was pretty much just, are we going to write new music, or are we, you know, going to try and wait this out? And, you know, obviously you guys went the route of writing new music and whatnot. So just taking in all of sort of the feedback that you guys got from Fracture, but as well having just all this extra time to be able to, you know, put your full undivided attention to the music, man. Just what was this process like this time around, man?
So, yeah, I mean, that all started off the back of Fracture, like you said. If we kind of start things there, then we had the option from the label to postpone the release of Fracture to kind of, because at first nobody really knew how long it was going to last, but we felt like we owed it to our fans or to ourselves to just stick to our initial release date.
Yeah.
And it quickly became apparent that this wasn't just an overnight thing and, you know, COVID was there to stay. So,
yeah,
we quickly focused our attention on new music. We'd seen how well it had gone down live, and we were connecting with fans in different ways. You know, we were using Instagram Live, we were using YouTube. We didn't have a Twitch account, but we were using Instagram Live and YouTube as that kind of, you know, that way to engage. And we were just really active as a band in that time, like as best as we possibly could be. And just getting all the feedback, that's really what inspired us to just crack on with Shrine. And that's what kept us, Shrine kept us focused and sort of sane, I guess, throughout that 2 year period. I think as soon as we started playing shows again, so we were lucky enough to play the Download Pilot event last year, which was kind of, it got dropped on us with like 2 weeks notice, and we knew that we wanted to up our production for this. So, you know, we wanted to up our production when we returned to the live circuit. We just didn't know when that was going to be. So when we got the phone call saying, right, Download's happening in 2 weeks, do you want to do it? And we're like, yes, of course we'll fucking do it. We haven't played a show for like 18 months. And straight away we're on the phone to like our mates to do pyro and stuff like that and production companies and being like, we want to get this stuff. This is, we've been waiting to do it. Do we have enough time to do it? And yeah, I think like we were already in the writing process for Shrine. But definitely getting out there and finishing off the writing process after getting some sort of like some shows under our belt sort of thing was very inspiring for us, and seeing how the songs of Fracture were going down, that really kind of lit the fire under us to get that finished. And I also managed the band, so that's kind of when I said, right, we need to move quickly now, because whilst we didn't get a full touring cycle out of Fracture, you know, people have a very short attention span these days. And I think it was apparent that, you know, Fracture was going to get a sort of small part in the limelight there in those shows, but it was important for us to just bring out the new material and show people that we were, you know, responsive to that album and responsive to how it's been going down live and stuff. So yeah, we moved pretty quickly after that, and yeah, we were in the studio in August of last year. That's when we started tracking the drums. And then we spent September, October, November, December, probably talking about four and a half months on vocals and guitars at our studio in Glasgow, Scotland. And we got things wrapped up there. And it was a mad ride, to be honest. Especially towards the end, it was a bit of a rush, a bit chaotic. But we got there in the end and couldn't be happier with the finished product, man. So yeah, I'm just so proud of the team involved in this, proud of my bandmates, you know, proud of my own work in this. Like, I think everybody's just really proud of the overall result, and to have it out there in the world is an amazing feeling.
Yeah, 150%, man. We are here with Ali Richardson, drummer of Bleed From Within. They just dropped their brand new album, Shrine, last Friday on Nuclear Blast. You can catch them all over Europe this summer playing a variety of awesome festivals, including Download Festival this weekend. Now, when it comes to the drum side of things for you, man, when you're writing and tracking and whatnot, as you just described, it sounds like, you know, the drums were the first thing, you know, to be tracked and recorded on this album and whatnot. How do you generally like to write during sort of the demo and the pre-production process and kind of take that into, you know, obviously when you're tracking, you know, from talking to Goonzy on the last album cycle and, you know, especially also taking into account that you also manage the band, you know, I would imagine that this is something that, you know, you pretty much have down for the most part to a T before you're getting into the studio and whatnot, ma'am. But to give listeners kind of the idea and whatnot, you know, when you're tracking drums first, you know, when you're tracking, what is sort of in your in-ears or just anything that you might be listening to kind of go off of, you know, in the way that you'd like to write and sort of track your drums to have it obviously go together with the song, you know, despite the fact that it's obviously the first thing that comes.
Well, I always go to the studio very prepared. I think when I was younger, I didn't go in with such levels of preparation, and it just led ultimately to more stress, and I didn't really enjoy my time there. I think the sort of, you know, practice makes perfect, or I think a more accurate phrase there would be like practice breeds confidence. And it allows you to be in the moment. It's the same with the live shows that we've just had, like coming back into live music after being away for 18 months. I made sure that I was rehearsed down to, you know, the bone. I mean, it was a very intense rehearsal process there. So when we were actually live, you can be in the moment. And it's the exact same with studio. I like to be very well prepared, usually with a couple of options for each sort of riff or fill. And then I'll bounce that off whoever's in the room. So you've still got that kind of creative stuff happening in the studio, but it is rehearsed and you're not wasting your time, engineer's time, your bandmate's time. I think that stuff's important. So always a very high level of preparation with months and months. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, I've started writing some of those drum parts early 2021. Yeah, you're looking around about 6 or 7 months of just bouncing those riffs off in the studio myself and drilling in fills and grooves and each individual hit, sort of getting them down. But then, like I said, having the options. And then actually entering the studio, you know, it's a really relaxed environment that we've got, a relaxed sort of process that we've got at the moment. This was our third album with Adam Nolly Getgood. Nolly's just like an extension of the band, really, a really close friend. And he just understands the music. He understands me as a player. If there's like a bad take, he won't say anything in my ears. I'll just hear the track will stop and it'll just go back. And I'll be like, right, okay, that's, he knows I've not done that right. Which is great because in terms of workflow, it just keeps us going, you know. I guess I do things, I'm not sure if everyone else does this, but I tend to track songs section at a time and we just keep moving forward. I find that I'm quite a heavy hitter. I hit quite hard. It's a very physical thing that we're doing, obviously. And I used to fantasize about this idea of being like, oh, I just want to play the song start to finish absolutely perfectly every time, and then I can brag about the one take. That doesn't happen. It just doesn't fucking happen. Or not for me anyway. I do know friends that can do that, but I'm too much of a perfectionist and I think on each part too much. So I'll usually start off a song, I'll get the intro down, I'll go into a verse. But if I fuck up the verse, I'll be like, right, drop me at the start of the verse. Let's go from there. Yeah. And we just keep it going in that sense. We get to the end, we go back and listen, take notes of anything we want to change. We'll drop in at those points. And then that's the song done. We tracked a bunch of songs, actually. There's some stuff that didn't make the album. 15 or 16 songs, I think, in total, over the course of about 4 days. You know, there's a lot of stuff getting done, but that process just keeps us moving forward quickly. I think on the last day I did 5 songs in the day or something. It's the most that me and Ollie have done together, and it was just down to, I guess, the process that we have, and how well rehearsed I was going into that, and just how well we were operating as a band and how well Nolly understands it. You mentioned about in-ears. I just have loads of fucking drums, really. There's not really a lot of music because I'm quite well rehearsed in the parts. I just like to zone in on what I'm playing. You know, in the weeks building up to the studio time, then I focus very much on the music. Especially this time around, I feel like there was more space in the music. I kind of took a step back and allowed the song to breathe more because I'm very involved with the vocals as well, writing of the lyrics, placement of the vocals, etc. So there were a lot of riffs and parts that Gunzi or Stephen were bringing to the table that I thought, you know, if I take a step back here, we can have some more fun with the vocals. I Am Damnation is a prime example of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess that's the whole creative process for me, really.
Hell yeah, man. And I mean, you know, when you're talking about tracking five songs completely in a day and whatnot, I mean, after you do the first one, or you know, you're feeling pretty good after you do the second one, is it just like, all right, like, let's fucking go. Like, this is, you know, we're going to get this done. Like, I can't imagine.
Definitely, because on that last day, I was like, this just has to get finished. You know, if we get this done now, that's fucking great. Sort of sign off. And as well, it's like, Nolly will usually be like, are you sure you want to do this? Like, we've got time. And I'm like, come on, let's get it done. just move on, sort of thing. Then we can get to the pub, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure, man. And what would have been the first couple songs for you that you guys would have tracked kind of in sort of the first part when you guys were writing it? You know, when you start getting ideas and, you know, these songs are starting to become fully fleshed out ideas in pre-production.
One of the first songs we had finished was, it used to be called Seven String Idea. It's now Invisible Enemy. I believe it's track 5 on the album. Yeah, that was one of the first to get finished. I think that actual sort of starting riff that Gunzi had been knocking out was maybe going to be on Fracture. So we'd had that for a while. I Am Damnation was quite early as well. Not in its final form, but most of the track, that was quite early. It's all kind of merged into one now, to be honest. Those are the two that stand out for me, like at the start of the process. And then it, very quickly, it just kind of ramped up. And like I said, we tracked more songs than there are on the album. You know, they might come out at some point soon. I'm not sure. But we went in there with a lot of material. And just as we, as the course of the summer sort of went on, and after we'd been to the writing retreat up in the Highlands and stuff, we started to realize that we had like a large body of work and there was a lot of material, and we've never had the luxury of having that going into our studio. Typically, like the last two albums especially, we just got enough material down to make the album. So Fracture, there was 10 songs and that was it. We had ideas for things, but we didn't have the time to implement them. With Shrine, we were very inspired and we were moving very quickly, and we soon found that we had this massive body of work, so we wanted to make sure that we could complete all them at our time in the studio, and should we decide to use them later down the line for whatever reason, they would be there.
Yeah, definitely. Now, you know, with those 15, 16 songs total that you guys tracked, how was it then decided amongst yourselves or the label of, you know, which songs were going to have to get cut, you know, even knowing that, you know, it could potentially be a part of a future release or maybe even sort of a deluxe edition of the album, if you will, if that were to ever come out.
Yeah, I mean, that is always the hardest part. So Bleed From Within, we're very self-contained in that sense. Like, we have the backing and support of the label, but we always pick our singles, like creative direction, all of that stuff is entirely us. So yeah, we basically, we just fought it out, you know, last man standing kind of vibe, just to see what was on there. It's always a difficult process because whilst we can be incredibly aligned on like what it is we want to achieve, we are five very different and very strong personalities within the group. And we've all got these sort of difference of opinions, but you know, we operate as a democracy, and it's a voting system usually gets put in place if a decision can't be made. And, you know, it's always 3 against 2 or 4 against 1, that kind of thing. And, you know, the person that loses just has to suck it up, really. And I think everyone's now at that point where even when it gets to those processes, nobody really holds a grudge because we've worked together for, you know, 17 years as a band now, 6 studio album. We know this process, especially with the creative side of things. Like, I look at like visuals and a lot of riffs now. There'll be stuff that Gunzi does that at first I'm like, I'm not sure about this, but I've felt like this in the past, and I'll be like, you know what? I trust you. Let's run with it. And then when the album comes out, we'll be sitting having a beer to celebrate, and I'll be like, you were fucking right. and vice versa, you know, those things that I changed at first, he was really against, and the same with everyone in the band. So Yeah, it was a difficult process, but we got there in the end. The name of the album, Shrine, that took fucking months. There was about four or five different options there. I think I got it down to three. And then I think we were on tour with Bullet for My Valentine in November last year. And I basically sat everyone down. We had a day off and we had dinner and I was like, right, we're not leaving the table until this is decided. I said, we can't order foods until we've decided on the album title. And obviously everyone was fucking hungry, you know, everyone was so a decision was soon made. But that's what happened. And it's you know, those decisions are difficult in any band, I believe. But yeah, it's, you know, the best stuff always comes out the other side of it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Now, what were some of the other titles in consideration? Were any of them song titles off of this album? And as well, were all of the tracks, you know, that you had voted for on the album, did all of yours make the cut, or was there maybe one that you felt super strongly about that unfortunately didn't make the cut?
No, all mine made it because, you know, I like to get my way. But no, all of mine made it on. There are some other tracks there that I really like, one in particular. That was like a point of, a lot of discussions had about that one particular track. But the other song titles, Sovereign, track two on the album, was potentially going to be the album title. What was the other one? Sanctuary. Was another, they all began with S, which was weird. It was Shrine, Sanctuary, and Sovereign were the kind of three final ones, I believe. And I think we just all sort of decided, you know, Shrine was I started to write this narrative for it, and I was like, look, this is about, you know, realizing what we've achieved as a band over 17 years and taking note of that, but then also recognizing what we've got left to do and sort of recognizing this 17 years as a band and how much we dedicate our lives to it. And it's a massive part of our identity, and we just give ourselves to this, you know, the band is our shrine essentially. And that sort of narrative, I kind of went away and tried to think about each thing and be like, well, this doesn't really work. And because, you know, Sovereign's about the monarchy and, you know, we really don't support that and don't believe in it kind of thing. So I was like, well, that's inherently negative as an album title, you know, that full thing. There's not really a lot of positives I can pull from that when they read the lyrics that I wrote for track two on the album, and they'll be like, well, why are they calling the album this if, you know, that didn't really sit with me. So Shrine just seemed to, it was a little bit more positive. I think after Fracture, obviously a very divisive album, it's in the name. It's in the artwork, the colour scheme from that. We wanted something, you know, the white sort of background, something a little bit more wholesome, and be like, right, this is a positive album with a good message behind it, and we are moving forward. And there is no more of that sort of division or bullshit that we've been through in the past. Yeah. This is a positive step forward was the mentality behind it.
Hell yeah, man. Definitely, for sure. Well, Ali, right now we are going to get to a track off of Shrine before we come back and talk some more about the album, man. So if you wanted to choose a track off it for the listeners to hear, man, go for it.
I think just off the back of what we were talking about there, we should go with Sovereign. So the album was almost called this. The pre-production name for this was actually Ali's idea. Just off a kind of pattern that I had in the main riff, and then Gunze built a song around that one pattern. Just a really great aggressive energy in this song, and one of my favourite riffs at the end. Also features a guest solo from Vogue of Decapitated and Machine Head, good friend of ours. It's just, it's a ballsy track, put it that way.
Oh yeah, sounds great. We will be back talking more with Ali Richardson, drummer of Bleed From Within, but first we are going to get to a track off of their new album, Shrine, and it just so happens that this track is also in featured rotation on Idobe Howl, Idobe's heavy music station. It is Bleed From Within, Sovereign, on Rock the Walls on Idobe Radio. I'm your host, Patrick Walford. There is Bleed From Within on Rock the Walls. That is Sovereign off of their brand new album, Shrine, which is out right now on Nuclear Blast. We are currently joined by drummer of the band, Ali Richardson. Now, Ali, just talking a little bit more about this track, man. You were just speaking about it as we were going into the song, but the demo title for this was Ali's drum idea and whatnot, man. Yeah. Just where exactly is this one all begin, man? And I just feel like this song is just a perfect example and the kind of track where if you're showing somebody the band for the first time that has never heard of them, just kind of fully sort of shows them what this band is all about with just so many awesome riffs, breakdowns, just an absolutely awesome chorus too, man. Just where does this one really all begin for you? And then, you know, the other guys coming into the fold.
Yeah, well, it started off as me and Gunze do a lot of voice notes. I think Stephen does this as well, but we'll sing little patterns and rhythms into our phones and then send them between each other. And I sent this one to Gunze ages ago and nothing came of it for a while. And then we went to this writing retreat up in the Highlands. And I think that's where we first heard his sort of riff idea for the start of this. And as soon as it kicked in, I remember Kennedy just like punching his hand and just being like, that has to go on the fucking album. That's insane. And we were all like, yeah, sounds good, but let's see where he takes it with the rest of the song. And yeah, he went away and worked on it for a few weeks. And when he came back, we all got a version of Ali's idea in our inboxes and everyone fell in love with it straight away. I had some lyrics, the chorus lyrics I had sitting around. They'd been there for years, I think, actually. I just hadn't used them in anything else. They never really fitted. And I'd been sharing all my lyric ideas with Kennedy, as he had with me. And he was like, Ali, I think this might work, this idea sort of thing. And yeah, I sent him a voice note. Do you think this pattern works in the chorus? And then, yeah, he took it and ran with it and does his thing. And, you know, it's such a privilege, man, just having your sort of closest friends being in your band. And every album, I always say, like, my favorite part was just hearing Kennedy's development as a vocalist and as a frontman, as a singer, the control that he gets over his voice with each album. And any idea that I deliver to him, how he brings that back, I'm just like, this is insane. Like, it's so fucking cool to hear. So that's the story of Sovereign, I guess. The last line in the chorus was a very late addition, just when we sort of realized all the pattern we put were running out of words. And I was like, make no mistake, it's a sovereign state. And Kennedy loved that. And then, yeah, he done his thing and ended up with the title of the song.
Hell yeah, man. That's absolutely awesome. And I'm really hoping that song gets thrown into the live set list here at some point.
I think it will, man. Like you said, it's a great sort of, it's one of those songs that kind of has, it's a typical, not typical Bleed From Within, but it's very much everything that we do. It's got melody in there. It's got groove. It's got aggression. It's got bite. And it is one of the heavier tracks on the album, which was just nice to kind of tuck it in there. You've got like the melodic opener of I Am Damnation, Levitates, what, track four? I can't remember the opener. But you know, it sort of nestled in between that melodic sort of start to the album. It was important for us to just remind people that we're still a fucking heavy band and we're not leaving that behind anytime soon. So
yeah, hell yeah, man. Now, as well, you spoke that you have a huge hand in sort of the vocal, the lyric, the songwriting process and whatnot, man. And just working hand in hand with Kennedy, as you just mentioned, just seeing him grow as a vocalist just from album to album, just fucking absolutely awesome and amazing to see. But what's kind of from your perspective, how you like to sort of attack the songwriting process and sort of, you know, maybe the way that you sort of, you know, maybe hear riffs and the way that you it then cause you to think of patterns or melodies from sort of a vocal perspective, you know, not only for what's best for the song, but also, you know, what you guys feel that Kennedy can pull off, you know, for that song.
Yeah, I mean, Kennedy always gives me a hard time because he says that my vocal patterns are a lot more like confusing. And I guess it's probably based off the, I've always put it down to just being a drummer. I think I hear rhythms differently, like maybe how I'm putting a drum beat to a song. I employ the same kind of thing for lyrics sometimes and be like, well, this pattern plays off of this. And, you know, Kennedy comes up with his own amazing shit all the time. Yeah. And then every now and again, he's like, God, do you want to come up with an idea for this? And if I give Kennedy an idea for something that I've heard and I'm like, oh, what about this rhythm? And he's like, no, I think you should change it to this. And then I get his take on it as well. And I'm like, that's even better. I tend to just give him like a canvas to work with sometimes. If it's a song that I've decided to take, I Am Damnation was one where I was like, right, I think I've got this pattern down. So I would send him a voice note of the full thing. And then he would come back and be like, let's change this and change this. And when he actually goes into the studio and him and Stephen work on it together and actually retract the vocals, there's always some extra little bits put in as well that I'm just like, this is great, you know?
Yeah.
We have a strong understanding of what each other wants. And I think every member in the band has that now, you know, like Gunze is most definitely the primary songwriter in the band. And what he delivers to us, we know what he's capable of doing and what he's capable of changing. And, you know, if he's done something before that was very similar, but be like, well, that's a bit too similar to that. Let's change that up. And I think you could push this idea further and, you know, go a bit more wild with this part. And same with Stephen, you know, I think, you know, and Davey as well, obviously his contributions and the kind of, no, I think we should extend that part or let's do this transition differently. Everyone has that say now. Everyone has a solid understanding of the sound that we're trying to create. And it's just, this is why we've moved so quickly from Era to Fracture to Shrine. Everyone's been so inspired. Everyone's working so well together. Everyone's bouncing off each other really well. It's just an exciting time to be writing music. We've already started on some new ideas for stuff. So I think that gives everyone an idea of where we are sort of as a band. It's just a good time to be alive right now.
Oh yeah, man. We are here with Ali Richardson, drummer of Bleed From Within. They just dropped their brand new album, Shrine, through Nuclear Blast. You can catch them all over Europe this summer playing a bunch of awesome festivals, including this weekend at Download Festival in the UK. Now, from sort of the lyrical and the songwriting sort of perspective and where you guys wanted to take the lyrics this time around, you know, as we've already spoken about, you know, Fracture, it's a little bit more of, you know, sort of like a, I don't want to say like a negative album, because there's definitely some more positive sort of songs on there and whatnot. But, you know, this time around, you know, looking at things a little bit more positively and, you know, as the album title would lead and as we spoke about, you know, just kind of the shrine that you guys have created. I mean, did sort of taking a step back and kind of looking at the band's, you know, entire body of work, you know, really inspire you guys from sort of a lyrical process just to see how far you guys have come, just how much that you guys have accomplished over the last, you know, nearly 15 years at this point?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was, I Am Damnation was, that's another reason why we picked that as the sort of lead single. The lyrics that came together for that were, and that was about our time as a band, really, and what we've achieved and what we're aiming to do and everything that we've experienced so far. And that kind of set the tone, I think. And when it came to the album title and deciding what it was that was going to cover the body of work, Shrine just made the most sense. I think individually each track tells its own story, and we've always kind of written like that. It's not like a running theme throughout the album. It's not like a concept album in that sense, but each song has its story and it's part to tell, and usually just in the time that we've been writing. You know, there was a lot of stuff that was inspired by things we'd seen on the TV as this just bullshit unfolding on the TV, largely inspired by some events in America that has happened as well. Yeah, I think, you know, taking a step back, and especially after I Am Damnation was released and seeing how that resonated with folk and doing some press around that time and having people say like, oh, this start of, you know, the starting line, they can't keep dragging us down. We fought tooth and nail, be here. It's like, that was, that just kind of became the motto, I guess, like the ethos, the whatever you'd call it, like for this album, and really set the tone for us moving forward. And I think once that was released, taking a step back, looking at the body of work, just to, you know, we've just signed to Nuclear Blast Records, we've just done Download, Bloodstock, Main Stage with Pyro, full production, arena tour with Bullet, sold out our headline tour for Fracture. Taking all those things into account towards the end of wrapping up the sort of Shrine process really gave us a fresh sort of perspective on it, I think. And again, I think I mentioned it earlier, we're so inspired at the moment, and we're so, like, we're never going to stop this is what I'm trying to get at. Like, we're going to do this for as long as we physically can. I think it's deep rooted in us now, and you know, we're not giving up.
Oh yeah, man. Now, you know, to be inspired as you guys have been, you know, going on, you know, six years now, and just honestly, I mean, it obviously people are gonna be like, oh, well, you're fucking speaking with him face to face right now. Of course you're going to say this, but I mean, every single of the past three albums, you know, you listen to Era and you think, oh man, I don't know how they're going to be able to top this. Then you guys drop Fracture, say the exact same thing. And then you guys go out and drop Shrine. And once again, you know, the exact same thing. You know, what is for you guys, you know, that fire, that kind of that fuels it for you guys, and really has been just sort of, you know, the sort of the reason that you guys are just so inspired over these last couple of years, and just, I mean, I think this is something that's really, really special just in the fact of just how inspired and just the level of songwriting and the level of songs that are coming out, man. It's truly special. And I don't think that there's too many bands out there that, that are able to, you know, say that.
I really appreciate those kind words, man. That means a lot. Honestly, the thing that keeps us going is the bar that we set for ourselves, basically. I was talking about this in an interview the other week, and you know, the guy said the same things, and we're incredibly grateful and humbled to hear that kind of thing. It's amazing that people pick up on that, because it's definitely how we feel. You know, we continue to push and evolve and develop, and it's nice when someone else picks up on it and you're like, oh, thank you, you noticed.
Yeah.
And it's not just, oh, you guys suck, it's not as good as your first album. You're like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's basically it's just that sort of striving, the pursuit of development. It's not even perfection that we're chasing, because there's no such thing. Every album that we've released, a month or two later, we're just like, fuck, I wish I'd done this or I wish I'd done that. So it's just about constantly trying to develop, push each other, push ourselves, develop the sounds. There's a bar that we set for ourselves, and we believe that from the start of our career, every release has pushed that bar higher, and we've continued to just push our own boundaries. And that'll always be what we aim to beat, the bar that we set ourselves. We always keep the blinkers on. We're just in our own lane. We're not too busy looking at the outside world when it comes to the writing process. We just want to do something better that we've done before and make something that we would be proud of. And so far, that recipe is going well for us, you know, and we feel that we're making the music that is growing and developing, and it's we're doing what we want to do in our way, at our pace. And it's working. And I think that's important. I think that's sort of the key to longevity and just that good synergy that we have as a band at the moment. We're not desperate to be the next big thing. You know, we don't want to be a gimmick. We don't want to sell out, or, you know, I mean, I don't even know what the meaning of selling out is. People probably think we're selling out because we have more melodic choruses now. That's just what we want to hear, you know? So I think, I think constantly pushing yourself, searching for that personal development, that development as a band, is what will keep us moving forward at this pace, hopefully.
Yeah, definitely, for sure, man. And, you know, talking about that bar and setting it, what were some of the things that you guys spoke about, or maybe if it was something where it was just, it wasn't even spoken about, it was just sort of, you know, knowing, you know, within each one of yourselves, of just the, I guess, a personal bar set for each of yourselves, or was it something that you guys kind of sat down, you know, and talked about after Fracture was recorded, and you guys, you know, get fan reaction, not necessarily that it would influence it, but also sitting down and getting kind of your own thoughts and whatnot after being able to digest the album, to kind of go into the next writing process with, you know, some goals and some things that you'd like to accomplish.
There was a few very practical sort of points on Shrine that helped that development this time around. Probably the most noticeable is the addition of the strings and the symphonic parts that we added to the album, something that we've done for ages. This isn't new, but they've been programmed on MIDI and they don't sound so good, so they might be buried a little bit more in the mix. But this time we got employed the services of Simon Dobson, who's worked with Alter Bridge, Architects, a bunch of other bands, just to help score us out a string part basically. And we got a four string quartet to come in and record the parts, and then we layered some of them up, so sometimes there's 8 strings, sometimes there's 12, and we really went to town on that. And it's something that we've wanted to do for ages, but we've never had the opportunity, and Shrine was just the right kind of the part to bring this in, see how it sounds, see how it resonates with our fans, and see how we think it sits for the music. And we loved it. That was such an incredible process, hearing that come together. And it really opened up a new sort of a new part to our sound, a new element to our sound that we'd kind of toyed with, but like I said, never really brought it to the forefront of the mix or whatever. And now we have done that. So that was amazing. We also got a mate of ours called Jamie Finch, plays in a band called Anna Vey. Great band, by the way. If you've not heard them, you should check them out. And Jamie came in to add additional production to the album. So that was something, again, we've toyed with, or we've thought about more in the past, but we just really haven't had the opportunity to do it. And I felt like Fracture could have done with some of that filling out. I thought, like, or with hindsight, I was like, that's a bit thin. How could we have done this? How could we have filled out this mix? And Jamie really came in and went to town on this. There's loads of different textures and layers that really just fill out the sound of Shrine. You know, it sounds like a much fuller product. And then the studio we went to for the drums as well, Real World Studio in the UK. It's Peter Gabriel's fucking studio. It's like absolutely insane place. Probably the best drum room I've ever tracked in. I don't know if I'll go to a place that's better than that, to be fair. Those are three really practical things that we sort of did there, or four, I guess. Simon, the orchestra, Jamie, and the studio there. And then just with each album, Nolly. You know, this is our third album together, and everything that we spoke about from day one, it was like, we need to raise the bar. And Nolly's like, well, you know, Fracture didn't sound bad, right? And we're like, obviously, we're not saying it sounded bad, but like, what can we do to sort of elevate this? So, you know, he approached the drum recording slightly differently. We went for big natural tones, no sampling, no dampening, just a fuller sort of drum sound there. Guitar-wise, he had a few things that he wanted to try differently with the guys, and they did that. And then just with vocals, he was just better at mixing vocals this time around. He just said, look, I've got a better process, and he really helped elevate that. So, yeah, on the production part, that's what we knew we could bring. Musically, we were just making parts that challenged us, whether that be because we couldn't fucking play it or whether it was because we were doing less than we've ever done before to make space for some vocals that were going on. Those were all key elements in how we developed for Shrine, again, I think.
Oh, yeah, man. Absolutely amazing and incredible to excuse me. Thank goodness it's pre-recorded. Just absolutely awesome to see just it all come together and really just fucking a metalcore masterpiece at the end of the day, to say the very least, man. I think this album is just gonna, you know, further take the band to even bigger venues and crazier places all across the world, man. I have absolutely no doubt.
Fingers crossed.
Oh yeah, man. Well, Ali, right now we are going to get to another track off of Shrine before we come back and wrap things up. So if you wanted to choose another track off the album for the listeners to hear, go for it.
Decisions. I'll go with a personal favorite, right? I'll go with Killing Time. This is another one that I did lyrics for. I think Kennedy's performance on this of said lyrics is one of the best on the album. I think it's one of Gunsy's finest sort of riff moments as well, the opening riff to the song. I pushed for this to be a single. Kind of knew it wasn't going to be with the quality of the other tracks, and we were like, okay, that's a shame. I'll bow out of this one. Killing Time, personal favorite for sure. Just some of the best riffs on the album, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, man, sounds great. We will be back talking more with Ali Richardson, drummer of Bleed From Within, but first we are going to get to another track off of their new album Shrine. It right now through Nuclear Blast. This is track number 11, Killing Time, on Rock the Walls on Adobe Radio. I'm your host, Patrick Walford. There is Bleed From Within, Killing Time on Rock the Walls, a track off of their new album, Shrine, which they dropped last Friday on Nuclear Blast. We are currently joined by the drummer of the band, Ali Richardson. Now, Ali, talking a little bit more about this song, man, as you mentioned going into it, this was a song that that you had written the lyrical side of things. Also, just a really epic track. From front to back, I feel like I'm saying that with every fucking song on this album, man. But where exactly does this one begin for yourself, and then the rest of the guys, just in terms of, you know, you taking your drums and your lyrical ideas, and then, you know, just bringing all the riffs and some of the other melodic elements that you guys really brought to the song to really just make it just an absolute fucking ripper.
This was one of the first tracks, quite an early riff that Gunsy had going for the album. I believe it's called Bong Song because he wrote it when he was high. I might be wrong. he doesn't smoke that much, so it was kind of a rare thing. And he was like, guys, I wrote this riff. And we were like, that's fucking brilliant. Maybe you should smoke more weed. But alas, he has not done that yet. Maybe the next album is going to be a totally different sound, by the way. Gunsy's just going to hit the bong. And there we go. But no, this one came over quite early. I remember this one being difficult to complete. It's quite technical in a sense.
Yeah,
the structure was quite hard for us to sort of finalize. Gunsy ended up putting this riff on the end. It's like 3/4 kind of time, or like triplet kind of feel, which is something he'd wanted to do for ages. He was like, oh, I want to finish a song and it fades out, but then an ending part comes back in that would just get us stuck on the end. So we experimented with that as well. And ultimately, when the music was done, this was one of the tracks that I think Kennedy said to me, like, Ali, do you want to do this? Like, I'm working on these other ones just now. We were towards the end of the writing process. And yeah, I'd actually had a pretty fucked up experience at an airport where somebody had a heart attack right in front of me. And I attempted to resuscitate this person along with a few other members of the public. I wasn't going to immortalize this in song, but the more that I sort of thought about the event, it actually quite affected me. And I thought about, you know, questioned my own mortality and what I'd done in my life so far and what is it you want to achieve in life. And those questions became very apparent. And that's ultimately what the name Killing Time refers to and what this song is all about, really, you know, sort of drop the facade and just actually live your life. Live in the moment. I think appreciate the moment is very much referencing what I'd said to you before about I'm going to make sure that I'm well rehearsed to enjoy those moments on stage, like trying to enjoy every little moment of my life more, experiences with my family, girlfriend, friends on stage, the band, all those kind of things, and appreciating those moments. So sorry to get preachy on you there, but that was basically the message behind this song and what inspired it. So it was funny that it was like this sort of groovy, dirty song, and then the message that came in over the top that for us was, I guess, quite a powerful, a positive message off the back of like this fucking horrific experience. But yeah, that's the story behind Killing Time for anyone that's interested.
Damn, man, that's crazy. And not preachy in the least, man. It's one of those moments that like it really just fucking puts everything into perspective and what's important,
for sure, man.
And what's maybe not important, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. It hit me, and I didn't realize until a while afterwards, because I think it was in the first week Kennedy was like, oh, you know, do you want to write about it? And I was like, no, I don't think so. And then it was a few weeks later and I just realized that my perspective had shifted a little bit, just with a lot of things in life. And I was like, right, okay, you know what, maybe I will do that. And that's how I'm going to remember that moment, as being like a positive change. And you know, I just hope that person was fine. I won't give too many details away about it, but yeah, that's the story.
Yeah, for sure, man. Now, you know, as we were talking a little bit about it in the last segment, just bringing, you know, more of those melodic elements and, you know, bringing the strings and whatnot on this album, man, and with it, you know, being real, real studio players, real instruments and whatnot, just a really broad, the entire sort of soundscape and just the atmosphere of the album, honestly, to just a completely another level. It really elevated the songs and whatnot. What was that like, you know, for yourself and the rest of the band, just to see that, you know, after years of you guys sort of doing those orchestral elements, you know, in a song here or there, yourselves through MIDI or through sort of plugins and whatnot, to then be in the studio, seeing these people, you know, bring those pre-production ideas to life that you guys would have had, and just bringing things to the next level. I can't imagine, you know, how special and maybe even breathtaking that would have been.
It was amazing, man. But I think like it's the right time for this stuff to happen for us now. So it's not even like we're not annoyed that it never happened before. I think like the experience that we've gained and what we've learned about songwriting and how we've now developed the sound, it was just the right time for this stuff to happen.
Yeah.
Very cool to see. If it just felt right, everything kind of clicked. And I think we would have been the first people to turn around afterwards and be like, you know, there were some parts that were written, because we told the guys that were doing additional production, we told Simon, who was composing the score, we told them to go all in and be like, go fucking crazy here. And whatever we don't like, we will not be afraid to tell you, sort of thing. And there were ideas that came through that we were like, nope, take that right out. But as soon as we sort of got through that stuff and we spoke with the guys and then they got more of a sense of what we were working on and what we wanted, everything just gelled and it just made sense. And it was, you're right, man, it was just breathtaking to see, especially the strings. That was like the biggest part for all of us because we'd toyed with the MIDI for so long. So I think the first mix we ever got back was obviously I Am Damnation, being the kind of pre-release song. As soon as we heard that final mix back from Nolly, we were like, yep, this makes sense. This is what we've had in our head for fucking 10 plus years, finally there. So it'll be interesting to see how we play with these elements as we move forward as a band. You know, there's talk about potentially just stripping it back, you know, and going back to the reason that we, you know, the bands and riffs that inspired us in day one, and maybe paying more homage to them, which would not totally eliminate the strings, but we might use them in a very different way. You know, I think the sort of industrial elements, they'll always kind of be there, but do we lean more into that and be like, oh, let's have some more fun with these sort of sounds and bring them in earlier in the writing process, as opposed to them being more of an afterthought, you know? The next album is going to be very exciting off the back of what we've done here, because we've just got a lot more to play with now, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like as well, you know, you guys can really take it in any sort of direction that you guys want, and it wouldn't feel at a place or like a completely different turn. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's the exciting thing. We know that we're at that point now, and I think like Shrine for us was experimental in a sense, just bringing these new elements in and seeing how it went down with folk. And already only what, 3 days since release, we've never seen a spread of like attention or love, let's say love, for each track, right, on each of from the album. There's one song on there, Shapeshifter, which was probably all of our least favorites, and that's had so much love over the last few days. We were just like, really? Is that what people are resonating with here? So we just read it wrong, and we're like, fucking hell, if people aren't, you know, if people are loving that, then we're fine. You know, Death Divine's getting a big shout, like a lot of love online. Invisible Enemy, same. Sovereign, obviously, like we mentioned. Paradise, the album closer, you know, that's another favorite of mine. It's amazing to see this. So yeah, moving forwards, we're just excited to get started on something new, to be honest, already.
Oh yeah, man, absolutely cannot wait for it. And you know, just looking back at this writing process now, and with the album being in, whatnot, for yourself, what were some of the most difficult tracks to write for you on this album, whether that be, you know, from a lyrical side of things, or you know, from the drumming side of things, and just you know, getting something down that you're completely happy with from start to finish?
I think Killing Time was the hardest lyrically for me personally. I guess just because of the subject matter, and just quite a technical song in that sense, and I wanted to approach it slightly differently with the patterns and stuff. So yeah, I'd say that was the most difficult. That was also probably one of the hardest to track. There's a couple of difficult kick drum patterns going on in there. I don't know, drum-wise, I guess like in a songwriting sense, there was, I'm trying to remember what track that was, it escapes me now. There was one that was really difficult for us to be like, right, how do we resolve this? And how does it find its place on the album, kind of thing. But yeah, lyrically, Killing Time, drumming wise, probably the same song. Yeah, I guess that's those two.
We are here with Ali Richardson, drummer of Bleed From Within. They just dropped their brand new album, Shrine, last Friday on Nuclear Blast. You can catch them all over Europe this summer, playing a variety of awesome festivals, including Download Festival this weekend. And just as far as things go, you know, looking towards writing some more new material and whatnot, is it safe to say that you guys will be going back to Nolly for a fourth album? And just, you know, how that relationship has just grown over these last couple of releases. You know, Goonzy, when we were talking about Fracture a couple of years ago, you know, he pretty much said he's literally sort of like the unofficial sixth member of the band in a little bit of a sense.
Yeah, he's just got such a massive understanding of the sound. So, you know, I'd never rule out working with him. We've kind of, I think the last three albums, we just knew straight away, like, next album's going to be with Nolly. But yeah, I've said in some recent interviews, like, I kind of almost see Era and Fracture and Shrine as a trilogy of sorts. I think with, you know, Davey doing the artwork and Nolly mixing the things. So I wouldn't be opposed to changing it up. But I think no matter what we do, Nolly will have a part in it one way or another. And to be honest, we might just end up working with him again, because if it's not broke, don't fix it. I think that's an important thing as well. And he's got such a deep understanding of our music, our sound. You know, I think he's not even working with as many bands anymore, and he would always have the time to do it with us. So yeah, I'm excited to see where we go and what Nolly's part is in the next album, because yeah, he'll definitely be on those liner notes. I know he will be.
Oh yeah, man. And, you know, as well as Bleed From Within, you have also been, you know, pretty busy with the other band that you play in, Silosis and whatnot, man. So just as far as that goes, how does that sort of intersect for you, just in terms of, you know, you guys writing Bleed From Within, the new Bleed From Within album, but Silosis also, you know, releasing a new album in 2020, releasing new singles just over this last little bit as well, like Immovable Stone back in December and whatnot. Is it something where you're kind of working on both at the exact same time, or do you kind of like to particularly block out maybe time to work on each project?
Yes and no. The band, we've never really had any clashes before, which has been good. Our album cycles have always been separate cycles, kind of thing. Yeah. And with Josh playing in Architects as well, he's obviously really busy. So that's kind of his his thing, and I've got Bleed From Within keeping me busy, and then we work on Silosis when we can, basically. But yeah, I guess there have been periods of time recently that I've had to just block out and be like, right, I need to go and get this done with Silosis. And same with Bleeds. I've been like, look, I can't do any of that stuff until this is done and out of the way. And I think we've got a really good system of keeping that stuff just moving and flowing. I'm very open with, you know, the sort of open dialogue I've got with Josh and with their management and the label and that side of things. And yeah, likewise, whenever they're going to be busy, they can let me know and I can try and get some Bleed From Within stuff going in that time. So yeah, it's a good system we've got, and yeah, I'm looking forward to the future with Silosis as well. That band's got legs, man. It's not going to stop. It's Josh's baby. I'm sure he's going to keep that going for a long time to come. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled for that.
Oh yeah, working on a new album at this point, or just more new material in general?
Yeah, I mean, there's new material getting spoke about left, right, and center, man. So I'm sure there will be something that will be gracing the internet at some point in the next, I don't know, 6 months maybe. We've got a show coming up in August. It will be our first show since before COVID. So yeah, we might have something new out around then. Yeah, like I said, keep your eyes peeled and we'll see what happens.
Hell yeah, man. I absolutely cannot wait. And just as far as things go, with touring coming up, as I've mentioned throughout the interview, you guys have a real busy summer all across Europe, playing so many awesome, just gigantic festivals and whatnot. Then you guys have a headlining tour coming up at the end of the year in December and whatnot. In the meantime and in between time, going into the fall and whatnot, any chance we could see you guys on any other European tours, or maybe possibly coming over here to North America?
That is the dream, mate. I've deliberately kept that part of the year free so we can do this.
Nice.
But it's incredibly difficult to get over there. The opportunity has to be right. It's a very expensive venture. I'm sure everybody knows that by now. Honestly, like, majority of our fans online, and I'm talking like a large majority, are from the States, from Canada. You know, we get a lot of love from that part of the world, and it's just, it kills me that we haven't been. But part of me is really excited now because we haven't gone for that long. So I think when we do get over there, it's going to be incredibly special, and it's going to be amazing to share the new material with our fans on that side of the pond, man, for sure. So as soon as we know about it, we'll be shouting about it from the fucking rooftops. You better believe it. And it's going to be happening. On this album, I'll fucking make it happen. Trust me when I say that.
Oh yeah, man. Absolutely cannot wait for that. And just what you've been jamming as of late, whether it falls in the realm of heavy music or anything outside of it, what have you been enjoying as of late, man?
That's a good question. I've listened to a lot of Bleed From Within over the last few days. I'm not going to lie. You know, you've got to love, got to love your own shit. So
yeah.
Yeah, listen to a lot of Shrine. It's nice to have it out there. It's always makes it feel more real when you see it on Spotify, you know.
Yeah.
I've been listening to that. A band called Moontooth. Been listening to a lot of them. Fucking great band. Seem to be making the right moves as well. I'd love to have them over in Europe, UK with us supporting at some point. That'd be fucking great. Who else have we been listening to? Jordan Rakey. I don't know if you know him. He's like a multi-instrumentalist from,
yeah,
I think he's from New Zealand, but he's based in London now. Kind of similar kind of vibes to Tom Misch. Very non-metal, but when you have so much metal stuff going on, I tend to go the other way. I listen to some London Grammar, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and I've been back listening to a lot of Tool, one of my favourite bands. They were touring recently and I got the chance to see them twice in the space of a week.
Hell yeah.
It's always a rare occasion when you get to see them and it's such a spectacle. So I went right back into the back catalogue again and deep cuts, and it's been great to get them on the rotation again. So yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Hell yeah, man. And just as far as where you'd like the listeners to pick up any physical copies, merch bundles that you guys have for the album or anything like that, where would you like them to go for that online?
Bleedfromwithin.com. That is the place for all things band related. We've still got some limited copies of the band sort of exclusive variant on there. So it's like an orange and silver marble thing. It looks fucking great. I think there's only about 100 copies of them left. And once they're gone, they're gone. CDs are there, merch is there, tour dates there, latest video, or anything you should need to know about the band. It's the best place to do it. We've got all the social channels. Yeah, and I guess just thanks everyone. If you've listened to the album so far, just we really appreciate it. Like the response has been wild. We just can't wait to get over this part of the world and get some shows under our belts, man.
Yeah, man, definitely for sure. Well, Ali, thanks so much for joining me on Rock the Walls tonight, man. I really appreciate it for your time and really love and shrine, man. Just one of the things I like to do with the bands that I interview at the end of interviews when they're dropping new releases, I get them to choose two tracks off of that new release they'd like the listeners to hear, and then a track that you'd like them to hear by any band, any artist, any genre. So if you want to pick two more songs off of Shrine and a song by any other band or artist, go for it, man.
Okay, from Shrine, Paradise, the album finisher. If you'd given me three songs to pick today, that would have been the next one. Paradise for sure. And I really enjoy Death Defined. I can't remember what track it is. Sorry, this is all a blur now. But yeah, Death Defined is a personal favorite. It's one of the ones that I'd say it's probably be more of a deep cut for Bleed From Within. I'm not sure if we'll make it in a live capacity. It won't be a single. But yeah, I love the feel and groove of that track. It's dark and dark and moody, so yeah, always really enjoyed that. And a track by another artist. This is really difficult to see when you get these questions and you just forget everything that you listen to.
Yeah.
I'll just have a quick look at my Spotify. It's probably gonna be from that Moontooth album. That's been something in regular rotation recently, and I believe the tune is called Death Wish Blues by Moontooth from their latest album, Phototroph. Is that how you pronounce that? I hope that's
I think so. Name. Yeah, yeah. Dude. Just naturally remember. Hell yeah, man. Sounds great. Ali, thanks so much, man. And hopefully we'll see you guys over here in North America a little bit later on this year.
Fingers crossed, man. Thanks for having me.
No, no problem. Go and check out their brand new album, Shrine. It is out now on Nuclear Blast, talking about Bleed From Within. Right now, we are going to get to a pair of tracks off of that new album, kicking things off. This is the album closing track. This is Paradise on Rock the Walls on Adobe Radio. I'm your host, Patrick Walford. There you have it, my chat with Ali Richardson, drummer of Bleed From Within. A very special thank you to him for joining me on this week's edition of the podcast. Bleed From Within is going to be out all summer long, playing a crap ton of festivals all across Europe and a couple sweet tours coming later on this year. They're going to be doing a support run with Heaven Shall Burn in Trivium earlier on in the fall, and then doing their own headlining run into December. So definitely go and support them on that. As Ali alluded to in the interview, they're hoping to maybe get over here to North America in the fall, if at all possible. If not, definitely 2023. Absolutely cannot wait for that. They have been over here in North America once, but it was almost 10 years ago at this point. And as he mentioned in the interview, a good chunk of their listenership on streaming services is from the United States. So you know, when they come over here, it is going to be some rowdy, rowdy shows. That is for sure. To stay up to date with me and Rock the Walls on the socials, you can follow me at Rock the Walls on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And once again, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Simply search Rock the Walls in your favorite podcasting app. Click subscribe and never miss an episode. Leave a review, whether it's positive or negative, maybe some guests that you would like me to have on the show, and a whole lot more. I'm open to any and all suggestions. I am not somebody who gets hurt by either criticism or thinks that they are the shit if they get a compliment. I'm a very humble person, and I appreciate any and all feedback, that is for sure. I'll be back to you here in the next couple days with an awesome interview with TJ McMahon, vocalist of Thy Art Is Murder, talking about being back over here in North America on the Back From the Gulag tour, co-headlined by their friends, and After the Burial, when they're going to be working on more new music and a whole lot more. So until next time, I have been your host, Patrick Walford. This has been the Rock the Walls podcast. You have yourselves a good one, and always remember to listen loud.